You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Family matters.
Okay, for the rest of this hour, we'll be talking about whether or not you might be almost an alcoholic. What does that actually mean? And how do you know? And what can we do about it? Joining me in our Cape Talk studios is someone who's no stranger to this platform, the founder of World Without Wine, a really important online community that tries to make a difference and has made a difference to countless South Africans in particular, Janet Gourand. How's it, Janet?
Hi, CBS. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. We haven't spoken to you since you've gone global.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. I'm still talking to you.
How was the trip, by the way? You've given workshops now. Where in the UK?
Yes, UK is coming up in October. That's almost full. And I was out in Singapore last month, and we're beginning to connect with our audience there. So it's all cool. It's very exciting times.
That's really awesome. And what were those experiences like? Are there interesting universal similarities in our relationships with substances?
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to be talking more about the almost alcoholic syndrome, but I think what's so interesting is that there's millions of people in this almost alcoholic zone. If you like, they're not social drinkers. They can't claim to be just social drinkers anymore. Neither are they alcoholics, reaching for the vodka in the morning. But they are alcoholic zone.
Yeah. Well, you know what amazing work you have done. Sometimes people have woken up only at 11 o'clock on a Monday morning and they heard your story. And it has been life-changing for many of them. I've met some of them. And not everyone likes the term alcoholic. That sometimes gets people to be in denial, rightly or wrongly, or takes a breakthrough moment before someone might think, I am an alcoholic or I'm an abuser of a substance. Now you're introducing a new term, almost alcoholic. Who first identified this syndrome and what is it?
Yeah, I must admit, I had a bit of a light bulb moment recently, and I'm so thrilled to be able to share that. The book that I discovered, it wasn't a brand new book by any means, it's 2012. And it's by Robert Doyle and Joseph Nowinski, and it's called The Almost Alcoholic. And I think, as a society, we just love to put people in boxes, don't we? I mean, it just makes us feel good when we can put people in boxes. But when it comes to alcohol, we just seem to have the two boxes. We've got our alcoholics, the ones that pour vodka on the cornflakes and need to get down to AA sharpish. Yeah. Or we've got our social drinkers. And those social drinkers, they can have a glass of wine now and again at a social event, but they never really think about alcohol. It's not a big deal for them. But however, over the years, and this was certainly my experience, I think that some of us evolve from that social drinker who might have a glass of champagne at a wedding. We evolve into almost alcoholics. Because alcohol is insidious and it creeps up on you and it takes years. It's not like it's not like taking heroin, which kind of grabs you after a few months. Alcohol takes a long time. But we do move into this almost alcoholic syndrome. Some of us, certainly not everybody, but there's a certain big chunk of the population that moves into this zone. And
is there a profile? What is the behavior of someone who's an almost alcoholic?
I think an almost alcoholic is that person that really looks forward to their glass of wine at the end of the day, and they see their wine as something that will help them de-stress and to unwind. And really, drinking every day is a bit of a warning sign. And one's consumption creeps up. I was certainly someone that went from one glass of wine in an evening, and towards the end of my drinking career, as I call it, it was certainly a bottle or a drop more. So, that's the consumption increase. One shouldn't, if you want to safeguard your health, then you shouldn't really be drinking more than a bottle and a half of wine a week. That's not a night, that's a week.
So an almost alcoholic can go from occasionally having a glass of wine to unwind at 6 o'clock and then habituate themselves to a point where they can while cooking, while catching up on the news, while checking their phone, social media. Before they know it, by the time it's 8, 9 o'clock, they could have consumed an entire bottle, and it doesn't feel like a problem because they are functional the rest of the day.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, drinking alone is also a bit of a warning sign, because social drinkers, as the term would indicate, are people that, you know, have a glass of wine because it relaxes them and they feel they're connecting with each other better. But if you find yourself drinking alone, what you're doing in effect is building a relationship with that bottle of wine. And I come across people that would actually turn down a social invitation because they'd rather stay at home with their bottle of wine and their Netflix. Wow. And, you know, that's the danger sign.
Is this also someone who typically might try to maintain the buzz?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, there's been some research recently that is so interesting, because that buzz that those of us, you know, that were into or are into alcohol love so much, it actually only lasts for 20 minutes. Can you believe that? And then it kind of plummets. And those of us that get into trouble with alcohol, we love the buzz so much that we want to prolong it. So we think, wow, you know, I'm having a great time. Maybe this is all subconscious, but we think, I must have another glass of wine because I want to prolong this buzz. Whereas the sensible drinker, the real genuine social drinker, will also be enjoying the buzz, but subconsciously they'll think, okay, you know, I'm having a nice time, I'll have a glass of water, or maybe I'll stop drinking altogether. That's the big difference between a social drinker and an almost alcoholic. We don't seem to have an off switch, those of us that get into trouble.
And of course, it's dangerously close to, and in fact, in some respects, the same as the effect that alcohol has on an alcoholic. For example, can change your brain structure, or at least your behavior cognitively. You might find yourself, for example, thinking that you're okay to drive a car after a bottle of wine, and that it's okay to do so, because even your capacity for reasoning gets very quickly affected. And we know how dangerous that is, not least because your motor skills are affected.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the funniest descriptions I've heard about the change in the brain is by, I think this lady was a neuroscientist, and she drank about 15 shots of tequila, and she talks you through what's going on in her brain, and it's brilliant. But she says the prefrontal cortex, the easiest way to think of that is that's the mom of your brain. So that's the sensible part that says, you know, if you're drinking, you're not going to drive. But the problem is, after two or three drinks, the...
702 and Cape Talk. Family matters.
Okay, for the rest of this hour, we'll be talking about whether or not you might be almost an alcoholic. What does that actually mean? And how do you know, and what can we do about it? Joining me in our Cape Talk studios is someone who's no stranger to this platform, the founder of World Without Wine, a really important online community that tries to make a difference and has made a difference to countless South Africans in particular, Janet Gourand. How's it, Janet?
Hi, Eusebius. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. We haven't spoken to you since you've gone global.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. I'm still talking to you.
How was the trip, by the way? You've given workshops now. Where in the UK?
Yes, UK is coming up in October. That's almost full. And I was out in Singapore last month, and we're beginning to connect with our audience there. So it's all cool. It's very exciting times.
That's really awesome. And what were those experiences like? Are there interesting universal similarities in our relationships with substances?
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to be talking more about the almost alcoholic syndrome, but I think what's so interesting is that there's millions of people in this almost alcoholic zone, if you like. You know, they're not social drinkers. They can't claim to be just social drinkers anymore. Neither are they alcoholics, you know, reaching for the vodka in the morning. But they are almost alcoholic zone.
Yeah. Well, you know what amazing work you have done. Sometimes people have woken up only at 11 o'clock on a Monday morning, and they heard your story, and it has been life-changing for many of them. I've met some of them. And not everyone likes the term alcoholic. That sometimes gets people to be in denial, rightly or wrongly, or takes a breakthrough moment before someone might think, I am an alcoholic or I'm an abuser of a substance. Now you're introducing a new term, almost alcoholic. Who first identified this syndrome and what is it?
Yeah, I must admit, I had a bit of a light bulb moment recently, and I'm so thrilled to be able to share that. The book that I discovered, it wasn't a brand new book by any means, it's 2012, and it's by Robert Doyle and Joseph Nowinski, and it's called The Almost Alcoholic. And I think, you know, as a society, we just love to put people in boxes, don't we? I mean, it just makes us feel good when we can put people in boxes. But when it comes to alcohol, we just seem to have the two boxes. We've got our alcoholics, you know, the ones that pour vodka on the cornflakes and need to get down to AA sharpish. Yeah. Or we've got our social drinkers. And those social drinkers, you know, they can have a glass of wine now and again at a social event, but they never really think about alcohol. It's not a big deal for them.
Hmm.
But however, over the years, and this was certainly my experience, I think that some of us evolve from that social drinker who might have a glass of champagne at a wedding. We evolve into almost alcoholics. Because alcohol is insidious and it creeps up on you and it takes years. You know, it's not like it's not like taking heroin, which kind of grabs you after a few months. Alcohol takes a long time, but we do move into this almost alcoholic syndrome. Some of us, certainly not everybody, but there's a certain big chunk of the population that moves into this zone. And
is there a profile? What is the behavior of someone who's an almost alcoholic?
I think an almost alcoholic is that person that really looks forward to their glass of wine at the end of the day, and they see their wine as something that will help them de-stress and to unwind. And really, you know, drinking every day is a bit of a warning sign. And one's consumption creeps up. You know, I was certainly someone that went from one glass of wine in an evening, and towards the end of my drinking career, as I call it, it was certainly a bottle or a drop more. So, you know, that's the consumption increase. One shouldn't, if you want to safeguard your health, then you shouldn't really be drinking more than a bottle and a half of wine a week. That's not a night, that's a week.
So an almost alcoholic can go from occasionally having a glass of wine to unwind at 6 o'clock and then habituate themselves to a point where they can, while cooking, while catching up on the news, while checking their phone, social media, before they know it, by the time it's 8, 9 o'clock, they could have consumed an entire bottle and it doesn't feel like a problem because they are functional the rest of the day.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, drinking alone is also a bit of a warning sign, because social drinkers, as the term would indicate, are people that, you know, have a glass of wine because it relaxes them and they feel they're connecting with each other better. But if you find yourself drinking alone, what you're doing, in effect, is building a relationship with that bottle of wine. And I come across people that would actually turn down a social invitation because they'd rather stay at home with their bottle of wine and their Netflix.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the danger sign.
Is this also someone who typically might try to maintain the buzz?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, there's been some research recently that is so interesting, because that buzz that those of us, you know, that were into or are into alcohol love so much, it actually only lasts for 20 minutes. Can you believe that? And then it kind of plummets. And those of us that get into trouble with alcohol, we love the buzz so much that we want to prolong it. So we think, wow, you know, I'm having a great time. Maybe this is all subconscious, but we think, I must have another glass of wine because I want to prolong this buzz. Whereas the sensible drinker, the real genuine social drinker, will also be enjoying the buzz, but subconsciously they'll think, okay, you know, I'm having a nice time, I'll have a glass of water, or maybe I'll stop drinking altogether. That's the big difference between a social drinker and an almost alcoholic. We don't seem to have an off switch, those of us that get into trouble.
And of course, it's dangerously close to, and in fact, in some respects, the same as the effect that alcohol has on an alcoholic, for example, can change your brain structure, or at least your behavior cognitively. You might find yourself, for example, thinking that you're okay to drive a car after a bottle of wine, and that it's okay to do so, because even your capacity for reasoning gets very quickly affected. And we know how dangerous that is, not least because your motor skills are affected.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the funniest descriptions I've heard about the change in the brain is by, I think this lady was a neuroscientist, and she drank about 15 shots of tequila, and she talks you through what's going on in her brain, and it's brilliant. But she says the prefrontal cortex, the easiest way to think of that is that's the mom of your brain. So that's the sensible part that says, you know, if you're drinking, you're not going to drive. But the problem is, after two or three drinks, the sensible mom moves out and the crazy aunt moves in. And that crazy aunt says, yes, we're fine. Where's that car again? So always remember, you know, when your mum moves out, there's trouble ahead. Trouble ahead.
Okay, so you've heard Janet give some details in terms of the characteristic of an almost alcoholic. Here's a couple of questions. I'll just summarize them for you and tell me whether I might be describing you. Do you look forward to a glass of wine at the end of the day? Does it sometimes slide from a glass to an entire bottle, even if you are doing things around that activity that you may not think therefore indicates that you might have a problem? Do you drink alone, for example? Might you even say no to going out and drinking socially because you're enjoying a bottle of wine with Netflix or whatever it is you might be doing? And do you keep topping up to make sure that the buzz continues? Just think about that. I want you to think about that. And if you'd like to call in, if you want to get advice from Janet, Janet is someone who has walked the talk. She's done incredible workshops. Many of you know her from this platform. Many of you have been to her workshops. Maybe you are introduced to her for the first time today. She's from www.worldwithoutwine. Here's an opportunity. It's a safe space. Tell us your story. If you are uncertain whether it applies to you, if you want to push back as well, let's have a conversation about our relationship with alcohol. 011-883-0702 and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Indeed, we're talking about being almost an alcoholic. What is an almost alcoholic? And I've given you some of the characteristics with Janet Gourand. And she's a sobriety advocate and the founder of World Without Wine, which is a really useful online portal. Got many, many calls, as we always do when you come on, Janet. Let's see how many people we can help out today. Janine, thank you so much for calling in.
Hello. I was a very, very, very heavy drinker. In fact, I was hospitalized about 30 years ago. About 16, 17 years ago, I woke up one morning and I couldn't even tolerate the smell of anything alcoholic. And to this day, I cannot. I have to move away from someone if I can smell the alcohol. And recently, I've been through some major trauma, and that even didn't cause me to want to drink alcohol again. And I don't understand why it happened overnight. And with no help from anyone, no one ever knew, you know. I was just doing it on my own. And I just wonder if anyone, I've been wanting, I missed you. I tried to get you last time you were on the air, and I couldn't get you. But can you tell me what has happened?
Wow. You know, Janine, I've never heard about that before. But I think there's even a name for it, aversion therapy, isn't it? I mean, if that had worked for me, certainly, then I probably could have stopped a lot earlier than I did. But yeah, that's amazing. I can't offer you any. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking aloud here, I wonder if it was your subconscious trying to help out there, because, you know, you...
Well, I knew I wanted to stop.
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh.
What I did know is that I was still drinking heavily, even after I'd been to the hospital and I was kept in there for a month, and then quite a while later I started again. And I kept on, but one, and I was a heavy drinker.
Mm.
No, anything, that would upset me, of course, I went to the bottle.
Yes.
And I've been, recently, in the last 3 months, I've been attacked twice at gunpoint.
Ooh.
They've killed one of my dogs. It's been terrible, terrible.
Wow.
Nothing. I drive past a bottle store,
hmm.
and that even doesn't make me think about it.
That's wonderful, Janine, and I understand that as the need, it's human curiosity, isn't it, Janet, to try and understand
yes.
what might account for that. But from a purely functional point of view, there is no one path to sobriety.
No, that's so interesting. I've obviously come across many, many people that have gone through this journey, but that is the first time I've heard that, Janine. And how's sobriety working for you, apart from your recent problems?
It's working for me because I don't even think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even a case of maybe I should try again.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get over the pain I've been through with 5 guns in my face.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of trauma at the moment. Yet, I still cannot figure. I never had any withdrawal symptoms.
Wow, yeah.
I never had any. Absolutely nothing.
What have you gained? What have you gained in terms of? I don't want to lead you with a question, but let me rather put it this way. You know how if one drinks socially, or you're an almost alcoholic or an alcoholic, if you go through trauma, if you've had a bad day, if that guy on Cape Talk, your CBS, pissed you off, a good bottle of wine might make you feel better. Now that you don't go to wine to medicate, how do you deal normally with the things that you might otherwise have dealt with, thinking you're dealing with it with alcohol? How do you deal now? What have become new ways of being?
Well, I can't really answer that except to say to you that since all this bad stuff has happened in the last 3 months,
yes.
I know I've become a chain smoker.
Oh, wow.
I was always a smoker. I started at the age of 16, and I'm now 70 years of age. I've never, ever stopped smoking for 1 minute, but now I am a chain smoker.
Janet, we still have a show to do, which we'll do in future, around other substances, right? Because isn't that interesting? One of the things that you workshop with the people who come to your workshops is, of course, you need to now find other ways
yes.
to deal with the underlying anxieties and the range of things that are sometimes reasons why we resort to the bottle. So there are healthy alternatives, and then there are alternatives where you can become addicted to another substance or another activity or technology. That's not good, because that's just redirecting the problem.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, we say to people, rather than come from a place of deprivation, when you make this change, think of it as a choice. You know, it's a lifestyle choice. Choose an alcohol-free life and make it awesome. And once you've stopped, as far as I'm concerned, that's when the work starts, because then you have to discover yourself. You have to find out who you are. Because
that's right.
If, like me, you started drinking heavily at 18 years old, you don't really know yourself very well. So
yeah,
it's all a bit of an adventure. So thank you so much, Janine. That's,
thank
that's
you, Janine.
Fascinating.
Much appreciated. Vumile, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Vumile.
Okay, I have a very long relationship with alcohol. But what I've realized is that in recent times, my frequency to drink has increased. But what is happening is that I'm drinking less. Like, I easily get tired of it.
Mm.
But it's more frequent.
Mm.
So with that, where on the spectrum do I fall? Am I just almost alcoholic, or just...
So, Mira, how frequently do you drink currently alcohol?
Okay. I have some left over from the weekend, like maybe two dumpies from the weekend that I will probably have one tonight.
Mm.
And then the other one tomorrow, and probably just dry on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday it's back at it again.
Mm.
So I'll probably have about, in a weekend, I'll have like 12,
okay.
like two cases.
Yeah.
In a weekend, I'll have like 12. But then I find that it's getting harder to drink more. Like, I'd rather have 3, and then that's it, I'm fine. Hmm. But I will have that more frequently.
I hear you. Janet?
Well, Vumilia, I would just bring out the guideline that we use all the time that's been very well researched and tested. If you're drinking more than 1.5 bottles of wine a week, then you are putting your health at risk. And another kind of way to see if you are almost an alcoholic is to ask yourself, well, have I ever tried to stop completely? Or have I tried to cut down and drink within those healthy limits? And if you have tried and kept trying and kept failing, then I would say that's a very clear sign that there is a problem and you need to make a change.
Have you ever tried, just for fun, say for example, and we're going to talk shortly about the Spring Sober Challenge. Have you ever been through a dry January challenge or a Spring Sober Challenge, Vumile?
Yeah, I've during Lent, I've tried to give it up.
Yeah, and how did it go?
It went well. I did it for the 40 days, but you see, then I shouldn't go to my friends and stuff, or if I do go, then I'm just hanging around thinking, okay, I want to go now type thing. So it's not like I'm there fully. So, and also in that 40 days, I'm like, this must just end quickly now.
Okay.
So I've tried, but also for me, it's never been a situation whereby I'm thinking about it like, oh, I need to stop. Or for me, it's always been just, I mean, who doesn't drink?
Yeah, I would say for me, that's quite an interesting comment you made about, you know, you did your 40 days. Well done for that. But you found you weren't really enjoying yourself and, you know, maybe you were isolating a little. So that's where the kind of work comes in, and it does take longer than 40 days. One has to almost keep, you know, socializing and keep your normal life going. And admittedly, you might not enjoy it for a good few months. That's certainly what happened to me. But gradually, you know, you will learn those sober skills and you'll find yourself socializing and enjoying yourself, even though you're not drinking alcohol. Excuse me, but it takes time. It takes months.
Before we take more calls, let's give people a bit of information here. Now, tell us a bit about your platform and then specifically the Sober Spring Challenge.
Sure. Okay. Well, as you know, UCBS, and you've helped us enormously with this, we do our Dry January Challenge for Earth Child every year. So that's 30 days. And also we have something called Take a Break, where we encourage people to have a month off alcohol. But this time, I think the way it started was that I read some scientific research that said that 66 days is the ideal period to actually develop a new habit, you know, to stop a bad habit and develop a new habit. So, and then I started thinking about spring. You know, for me, I think it's actually technically a bit later, but for me, I always think 1st of September is the first day of spring in South Africa. That's when, you know, I start looking forward to the summer. So we thought, well, let's make a challenge a little bit longer this time. And also let's give people more support, because if there's one thing that I've learned after 3 years of doing this and 28 workshops and all the people we've come across is the power of the WhatsApp group. I mean, it's absolutely amazing the way that people connect with each other and they comfort each other if there's a problem, or they, you know, they motivate each other. It's like magic. And we've never offered a WhatsApp group for Dry January or Take a Break. So that's one of the kind of big differences. So just to kind of talk you through it. And yeah, to go back to that almost alcoholic thing, I sometimes think I'm on your show sometimes and I'm full of bad news and doom and gloom. But in fact, there's really good news around this, because if you can recognize that you're an almost alcoholic, the thing is, it's much, much easier to make a change now than it is to travel further down that slippery slope, which you will. Once you've got to almost alcoholic, it's going to get worse.
Yes. Yes.
So recognize that you're there and do something about it. And it won't be so difficult as if you have to do it later on.
That's right.
So to go back to Sober Spring, you start on 1st of September. We're making at a very specific period. It's not a movable window like Dry January. We want a whole gang of people starting together on the 1st of September. And it'll run till the 5th of November. So that's 66 alcohol-free days to take you right into summer. So if people find that easy, then that's fabulous. No need to worry. But if it's really tough or impossible, then it is time to kind of get some help.
And then there's options to then come onto one of your workshops after that as well. This is a good initial test period. And if they wanted to sign up for this, where do they go?
Well, they just need to go to the homepage of the website, worldwithoutwine.com. We've put it in a kind of acid green block, so you can't really miss it. It says sign up for
right
Sobers.
Now.
Can you see it?
Yes.
Yeah. So just click on that button, and I think that connects you with my blog, which is 6 reasons to take up the Sober Spring Challenge. Because quite apart from recognizing if you're an almost alcoholic, you know, it's a fabulous time of year to start getting into shape for the summer and getting better sleep and, you know, clearing your mind a little bit.
The upsides are amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about those as well. Okay, we won't get through all the calls today, but let's see if we can squeeze in one or two more. Eugene, thank you so much for calling in today. Okay, we'll come back to Eugene. Mike, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Hello. Mike. Talk to us. Go ahead.
Hello, Mike.
Okay. Hi. Thanks. Okay. I'm just worried because some of the attributes that you mentioned there, I found that they apply to me because I always look forward to that bottle of cider at the end of the day, every day, from Monday to Sunday. So just wanted to find out, do I fall into that category of almost alcoholic? And also, it's a bit of a difficult to break it or to stop the habit.
Mm.
And how do I go on about breaking the habit?
Mike, let me just get the fact right. Do you consume alcohol every single day?
Every single day, yes.
And how much typically do you consume?
About 330 ml bottle of cider.
Just one?
Just one, yes.
Okay. That's an interesting one. We're now getting into some very complicated maths here, Janet. Someone on Twitter is also asking, can Janet translate for us 1.5 bottles of wine per week? What does it mean for beer? You know why it's an important question because the wine conversation comes with a particular lifestyle, particularly, you know, moms drink wine, that kind of thing. There's a lot of sober literature on that. But many South African men drink beer, so we need to transpose the conversation to beer.
Okay, well, that's relatively easy for me because it's 6 glasses of beer.
Per week?
Yes. Absolutely a week. Yes. Oh, you're serious. You didn't think I meant every night. You can't do that every night.
I think the reason why this is going to cause a little bit of not just moral panic but an existential crisis is that a large number, I'm guessing, of people who regard themselves as social drinkers would probably be drinking more than that.
Wow, yeah. No, I mean, 6 beers, that's the... I will put on Twitter and Facebook the absolute measures so that people can see it on the website later. But 6 beers a week is definitely the healthy guideline. You know, if you drink more than that, you're putting your health at risk.
But yeah, I think we need to underscore before we take a second last break, one of the most important insights you made last year, January, when you did that incredible show that was the one that got so many people reaching out to you for help, which of course is that the reason why some of the stats that you're giving may seem to people to be almost ridiculous or too low in terms of what it means to be an almost alcoholic is precisely because we've been socialized to accept drinking as just the norm.
Oh, totally. I mean, you're the freak if you don't drink. You know, I live with that now. I mean, I always say as a woman, it's particularly a fine line we're treading because if we don't drink, we're not fun. If we get drunk, that's not cool either. So, you know, it's the whole of society seems to be structured. And the wine industry has been incredibly successful in marketing to us ladies particularly. And yes, there's peer pressure and, you know, the guys with their mates and the beers. And it must be very difficult to be a man in a pub, you know, clutching your Coke or something. But I would say that thanks to the companies bringing out alcohol-free alternatives, you know, I would say to the guys, if you're a beer drinker, then just get the alcohol-free beer. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the makes, but there's several of them, so try them.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, you learn, it's an interesting journey when you go into the alternatives. You and I have had this conversation.
Yeah.
Initially, you feel the need to have strategies like Vumile, I'm going to leave early, which is fine, Vumile. It's your health. It's your well-being. You don't have to be pressured to stay because everyone else who's on a buzz and drunk are staying until 2 o'clock in the morning on the dance floor. You can leave at 11 o'clock. But you also realize several things that, number one, you consume an incredible amount of fluids that your bladder can't hold. So the first time you buy these alternatives, you go and buy the gin and tonics that are alcohol-free and sugar-free. You buy six. I'm now at the point where I will take a maximum of one to a dinner party because, quite frankly, I don't want to be drinking three, four things. So it's an interesting journey that you then go through transitioning from drinking the alternatives, the non-alcoholic ones, to a point where you actually just assert your autonomy and people learn to live with who you are.
Absolutely. That's been my experience as well, Eusebius, because with the alcohol free, if it's not giving you the buzz, you know, well, first of all, it's not chemically designed to make you want more, as alcohol is. So if you're not getting the buzz, it seems, you know, a bit pointless. But it works as a very good prop. You know, you're standing there clutching your bottle and you feel like one of the guys. So that's an important.
That's right. Let's take a little bit of a break here. Louis and Wilfred, we're going to also get to your calls on the other side of this.